Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hi, this is Cheryl Broderson, and I'm in studio with Mary Perro today. Robin is on kind of a sick leave, just repairing, but she's going to come back bigger and better than ever, which will be great. But I'm excited to have you, Mary. I love spending time with you, and it's so fun.
Thanks so much. I love being here. I'm excited to hear today's Women Worth Knowing.
Okay, well, today's a little different in that this is one of the first missionaries I've ever come across that was really reluctant to go on the mission field and uproot her life. And I really like that about her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just found her so relatable because I think a lot of the women out there are listening going, I could never do that.
Right.
I could never do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I can't do that. And that's a lot with Dixie Edwards, who we'll be talking about today. She just was like, no. And she had this kind of idea, and it relates to like Sarah of Sarah and Abraham. And the idea is that God is calling my husband, but not necessarily me.
Okay.
And I think a lot of women, maybe men, even in marriages where one of the partners is like super gifted, have had that thought before. Well, maybe they're called, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And what she realized is it's a covenant relationship, and the Holy Spirit showed it to her. So we'll get to that as we go further into her story. An interesting point, too, is that Dixie Edwards is still alive.
Okay.
She's 88 years old, and she lives in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I do is because sometimes the book just stops abruptly and I want to know more information, like how did they die? When did they die? Are they still alive? I have to go to obituaries. And so I was searching for her obituary and there wasn't one, but I found her husband's. And then it talked about her. And then from there, I was able to follow to another one that talked about how Dixie is alive and well and living in Indiana.
Okay, a modern day woman worth knowing.
A modern day woman worth knowing. So Dixie Ann Brumfield Edwards was born August 3rd, 1938, and she lived in Lynn, Indiana for most of her life. Now, her first 5 years were spent in New Mexico, but her family didn't really feel like they settled well there and they missed their family. So they moved back to Indiana. And after they had been living in Indiana for a while, some people from New Liberty Church came by and invited them to church. And what shocked Dixie was that her father said yes. And so they go to this. It was more of a kind of a church reception that they were throwing. They called it a kids' party. And she and her sister and her little brother went, and they just were having the best time. But her parents also loved it because they felt so welcomed into the community, and they made these friends that were so sincere and so real. And so they, as a family, began to go to New Liberty Church and loved it. Well, while her mother was still living in New Mexico, having had the three children, which was Dixie, her sister, and her little brother, her mom began to suffer from depression really, really badly. And she was constantly frustrated and feeling just this depression that she couldn't escape. And she didn't know what to do. And so she was feeling, you know, great about going to church, and this is a good thing. And her mother-in-law was ecstatic when they moved back to Lynn, Indiana, and when they started going to New Liberty, because she was an outspoken Christian and had been praying for her son and family for quite a long time. So when they start going to New Liberty, well, Grandma steps up the prayer. She is so excited. Well, one Sunday, the preacher invited anyone who wanted to walk with Jesus to stand to their feet. Suddenly, Pauline Brumfield, which was Dixie's mom, stood up. She walked straight down to the front of the church. Now, before that day, Pauline, as I mentioned, had suffered from depression and a sense that her life was missing something. And once she met Jesus, all the depression disappeared. In fact, this was her own testimony. I looked up and there wasn't any ceiling there. I looked straight into the heavens.
Wow.
So she just had this incredible conversion experience at New Liberty Church.
And that was the same moment that the depression lifted as well.
Same moment. When she received Jesus, it was like gone. She was like, this is what I was missing. This is what I was looking for. So Pauline right away began to have Bible studies with her children. She started just pouring over the Bible for herself, and everything that she learned, she would pour into her children. She even subscribed to a children's magazine periodical that would tell the stories of missionaries and their children. And she would read these stories to the children, and she would study the Bible with them every single night. And this is how together Pauline and Dixie and her sister and brother all began to grow deeper in the Bible truths. Now, when Dixie was 10, the church held revival services. I really like this New Liberty Church. Dixie went to the revival services. She loved to sit on the front row of church because she just loved everything that happened at that church. But all of a sudden, at 10 years old, she began to feel like a rotten sinner.
Uh-oh.
At 10, she began to feel the conviction. She wanted to go forward, but she was very shy and she was very afraid. And suddenly she felt a presence next to her, and she looked at it was her mother. And her mother looked at her and said, you want to go forward, don't you? And Dixie shook her head, yes. Her mom took her hand and walked her to the front of the church. And that night, Dixie gave her whole life to Jesus.
Oh, that's lovely.
Now, Mr. Broomfield, Dixie's dad, he had walked away from the Lord as a young man. And remember, his mother, Mrs. Broomfield Sr., has been praying for him. And the same week that Dixie went forward at the revival, so did her father. He gave his life to the Lord and to the Lord's purposes. So her mother and father then began to do the evening devotions together with the girls and the family. Now, New Liberty Church was the same church where a man named Max Edwards, he was a young man then, had gotten saved. And his whole family also attended. Max was part of the leadership of the young men's group, and he was a young man himself. Now, Max and Dixie knew each other and had even played a game of duck, duck, goose together before either of them had feelings for each other. So Max was 5 years older than Dixie. So it was just kind of when, you know, the elementary got together with the high school. Yeah. And, you know, he's one of the young men and they're playing with the little kids and just being really nice. Dixie, as I mentioned before, was extremely shy and timid. Her favorite verse, even when she first got saved and forever, was always Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you're going to see why she needed that verse and why she leaned into that verse. So one day, when Max was 20 years old, he suddenly took notice of Dixie, who was then 15. Dixie had dark hair and beautiful green eyes, and she was beautiful. Max looked at her, turned to a friend, and said, that's who I'm going to marry. He's 20 years old. He's looking at this 15-year-old. So he asked Dixie out. Now, remember, this was in the 1950s, and her parents said yes, because they knew him from church. He was a church boy. So he was handsome, he was godly and strong. What was there not to like? They liked everything about Max. And her parents were thoroughly impressed with Max. Dixie wasn't quite sure how she felt. She felt like a kid. I'm 15 years old. I'm not really ready for something this extreme or to date. But they had fun, and it was someone to hang out with, and she didn't really want to go out with anybody else. So she just kind of
went along with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Max was drafted into the Korean War in 1954, and he served for 1 year. But during that year, he wrote Dixie every single week, and she wrote him back. And he had this one fear, that while he was gone, somebody else was going to swoop in and take Dixie and marry her. Now, she's only 16 years old, but right. He's got this incredible fear. He can't wait to get out of service just so he can get back to Indiana. And he has one thought. He wants to marry Dixie. And so Max returned in the fall of 1955 and once more began to pursue Dixie, albeit Dixie was not sure how she felt about Max. He was just kind of there, and he wouldn't let anybody else near her, so she's just dating him. She liked Max, And she had fun with Max and they continued to date. But again, she was only 16 and then she turned 17. But on every date, Max would ask her to marry him. Every date. And she would say, no, or I'm not sure, or not now, or please don't ask me that. However, sometime after she turned 17, Dixie realized that she didn't want to do life without Max. And she realized, I think I'm in love with Max. So in Christmas of 1955, Max gave Dixie an expensive Samsonite suitcase. That was a big deal in 1955 to get.
We're going places.
Yes, a Samsonite suitcase, right? Uh-huh. And inside was a beautiful blue cashmere cardigan. Dixie had never gotten a present that expensive or that nice in her life before. In fact, it was the nicest thing she owned, the suitcase and this blue cardigan. She began to think about Max. He loved her. He was already a successful farmer. He was a dedicated Christian. Everybody loved him. Everybody at church. He was a leader. And she realized again that she didn't want to do life without Max. So the next time Max asked her, will you marry me? She surprised him by saying, yes. And Max was actually ready for this occasion. Out of his pocket, he pulled a diamond ring that he had had for over a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Presented it to her, and it perfectly fit when she slipped it on her finger.
Oh.
So, although Dixie was only 17, her parents were overjoyed when Dixie informed them that she was now engaged to Max. They were married on June 5th, 1956, which was a Tuesday night, and they got married on a Tuesday night because she wanted to be married on her parents' anniversary.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And so that happened to fall on a Tuesday night. And it was just a week after she graduated from high school. But Dixie felt she was ready to settle into farm life. She loved life in Lynn, Indiana. It was rural. Max, as I said, he had a farm that he rented and he was very successful. So their first son, J.D., J-A-Y-D-E-E, and yet that's his first name, J.D., was born October of 1957. In 1960, they moved to a 360-acre farm close to New Liberty Church, actually just down the street. And Max continued to serve there with the young men, discipling, helping with the youth fellowship. And Dixie started a children's choir called the Sunbeams. And what I didn't mention before is that she played both the piano and the organ.
Okay.
And the Sunbeams became her delight. She also taught Sunday school, but the Sunbeams was like, this is her wheelhouse. This is what she absolutely loved doing. So they served there. Max became not only the youth leader, but also a treasurer for the church while still farming. And they continued to serve at the church for 8 more years and had 2 more children, Jan, born in October of 1959, and Jeffrey, born in June of 1963. So they're going to church. Everything's going just fine. She's totally settled. And for her, this was the life she always wanted. She never imagined any type of life beyond this, nor did she want any life beyond Lynn, Indiana.
Even with the suitcase.
Even with the suitcase.
She never imagined that she might use it.
Nope. Well, they did use the suitcase she did right after they first got married. I didn't mention this, but a woman in the church asked them if they would give her a ride to Arizona, and she and her husband, because they were moving there. And so they gave them a ride to Arizona. And there's another story there with Max, what happened in Arizona, because he realized that he was in a town where, as a little boy, he had stolen something from this store. So he grabbed a $20 bill, went to the store, and asked for the owner who he met. And he said, look, I stole something when I was, I think it was like 12 or 13. And he said, it's been on my heart. The Lord has just been convicting of me. And he said, this will more than cover anything that I ever stole.
Aww.
And the owner took it and began to cry. And he said, I've had so many people steal from my market, and you're the first person that ever came, confessed, and wanted to make it right. And then Max had a chance to tell him it was because of Jesus and the work of the Lord. So that was really kind of a sweet story. But that's the only time she used before what we're going to get into. She ever used the Samsonite suitcase. So they're there, and they're serving. But 8 years later, now we're almost to 1960, Max is driving his tractor, brand new tractor. He's so proud of this tractor. It can do everything. And something seems to be going wrong with the gear. And usually he'd turn the tractor off, but he left it running. He was going to see if he could just, you know, see if something was jammed in there. And all of a sudden, the tractor grabbed his arm.
Oh, no.
And he thought he was going to, at the very least, lose his arm, at the most, lose his life. And he just cried out to God. And the tractor suddenly just stopped. It shut down. And he was able to free his arm. He was able to get to the house. Dixie rushed him to the doctor. And it turned out it was nothing more than it was pulled out of joint. And they were able to put it back in. And no broken bones, nothing, just
wow.
out of joint. And he was fine. But he had had this wake-up call because he cried out to the Lord. And the thought came to him, Lord, I don't want to die now. I haven't done enough for you. I want to do more for you. I want to have a life for you. And so Max began to pore over his Bible like he'd never been before. He was content just to have like kind of like a little daily ritual, a scripture here, a scripture there. But all of a sudden, the Bible became his lifeline. He just had to pour himself into it. And even as he began to pour himself into it, he began to feel and hear these promptings from the Holy Spirit. And one prompting told him to get up at one night and go to the church and go to the Bible that was on the podium, just read what it said. And it took him to the book of Acts. And he's like, why am I reading the book of Acts? And the Lord began to put on his heart, like, because I'm going to take you someplace. And so I was like, all right, you know, okay, I've got it. And it was that, you know, first chapter, I will make you witnesses, you know, here and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it really just began to work him like, Lord, what does that mean? What are you doing? Meanwhile, Dixie is watching Max become more and more exuberant for the Lord. And she doesn't really like it. She just like, no, I want life to go back just how it was. I was so happy. I was so content. I don't know what's going on with Max. It's kind of scaring me. Max started taking a Bible correspondence course that would make him write out sermons. And Max is just elated, wants to talk about the Bible just 24/7, you know, whenever he's awake. And so she is very, very concerned. So at one point, they're at New Liberty Church, and Max feels this prompting from the Lord to go across town to another church called Peaceful Valley Church. The Lord just puts it on his heart. And so he's like, is this the Lord? And he just feels so strongly. And so he turns to Dixie, goes, I've got to go. So he leaves her at New Liberty and he drives over to Peaceful Valley, which is probably about, you know, a 15, 20 mile drive. Goes to Peaceful Valley and he sits down and he realizes, says that he knows it, he's a friend of the man who's the preacher there. And so the preacher gets up, he smiles at Max, and he says, Max, what has the Lord given you to preach to us today? And Max thought, well, I've got that one sermon. So Max gets up, and he preaches the sermon, the one sermon that he had done for Bible correspondence, and everybody likes it. So then he thinks, okay, that was interesting. That's a one-off. I'm learning to obey the promptings of the Lord. So he goes back to, you know, New Liberty Church the next week with Dixie. And he's sitting there. And again, that prompting comes, get up and go to Peaceful Valley. And he said, Dixie, I've got to go to Peaceful Valley. So he gets up and he goes back. But now by this time, he's got a second sermon because that week he had to study and he wrote a second sermon. And the preacher again says, Max, I feel like the Lord wants you to preach. So Max gets up and preaches again. This happens 3 weeks in a row. And then he says to Dixie, I feel like the Lord is telling me that we're supposed to go to Peaceful Valley. And she said, well, you're supposed to go to Peaceful Valley, but I'm not going to go to Peaceful Valley. You know, I don't want to go to Peaceful Valley. I'm here at New Liberty. I've got a ministry here. This is my life. This is where my parents, my grandparents, this is where I'm at. And so he says, all right, you know, I'll leave you here. And so he starts going. Well, the next thing you know, the people in the church say, Max, we feel like you're supposed to be our pastor. Will you take the pastorate? So he says yes because he feels the Lord speaks to his heart and he says yes. And so he tells Dixie and Dixie says, no, no, I'm not going there. I'll never go there. I'm not called to be a pastor's wife. I don't want to. I'm too shy. I don't have any of the qualifications. You go, but I'm not going to go. And the kids and I are going to stay at New Liberty. They've got all their friends there. The Sunbeams is going really well. I'm not going to do this. So she's reading her Bible that week, and she comes across 1 Samuel 11 about God calling Saul. And it says there that Saul, under the influence of God's Spirit, became another man. Mm. And Dixie realizes that Max is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And under that influence, he is becoming another man.
Mm.
And she felt a wave of fear. And she prayed, Lord, I don't want another man. I like him just like he is or was. Well, Peaceful Valley, he's preaching there every week. And Dixie is totally dismayed. She said, Max, if God had wanted you to preach, he would have called you before you were 34 years old. And I can't leave my church. I don't want to take the kids to Peaceful Valley. I can't leave the Sunbeams. And she was crying, just crying, and cried even at the thought of leaving her church. Max did not press her, but he took the pastorate. Dixie tried to resist God's call, but became deeply burdened, depressed, and even embarrassed. You know, the church is, New Liberty is kind of like, you know, we love you, but what are you doing here? You know, when your husband is at Peaceful Valley.
Uh-huh. She's getting pressure from other areas.
Exactly. So she kept struggling. And when, you know, when she prayed, she couldn't even pray. And she couldn't sleep. In November, Dixie was at a revival service at New Liberty Church. And get this, she was playing the piano for the revival, right? And she's leading and helping lead the singing. And the lyrics of the song, He Touched Me, He Touched Me, begin to just, you know how sometimes you're singing and you're not feeling it, and other times you become so aware of what you're singing?
Yes.
Well, she was fully aware of what she was singing, and this is what she was singing. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am not the same.
Mm.
And Dixie realized that she had been resisting the Lord and his touch and any changes that he wanted to do for her.
Mm.
She had carried her burden for 6 long weeks. In fact, at that point, this is the thoughts that were going through her head. I will die right here on this organ bench. Oh, she's playing the organ, not the piano. If I don't obey God. So she surrendered to God right then and there. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I give you the Sunbeams, and please make me a good pastor's wife. And as she prayed, Dixie felt God's peace wash over her. Dixie went that next Sunday to Peaceful Valley Church, claiming Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
And, you know, because she didn't want to be a pastor's wife, she didn't feel up to the call, even though she played the organ and the piano, could lead choirs, taught Sunday school. She's like, no, no, I don't want to be looked at. I don't want to be seen. Mm-hmm. I just like to hide behind the organ or the piano.
Yeah, and it's interesting, even like her personality. I know she was really young
right?
when she and Max
right?
first met, but she was also a little unsure, a little resistant. It took her a while. I think for some people, change is harder. And when things are changing, you know, the truth is, we are not in control of really anything. We just like to think we are. But when you start seeing things that are kind of moving at it, it can be a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear. It can be a very fearful thing to say, what I thought was happening is not what is happening. Trust is required.
Yep.
And
especially this person yes. that you've, you know, covenanted with in marriage. And he's beginning to change.
Yes.
But he's changing as a godly man. But she's like, but doesn't
still,
really want him to be.
Yeah,
yes.
Where is this going to go?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And boy, I'm telling you, you know, we're probably at the end of session one, mm-hmm. so to speak, or episode one. But it's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
There are big, big changes in store for Dixie. And it's amazing all the things that she will do by the strength that the Lord gives her and not in her own strength. And she will do it reluctantly She will do it without really feeling enthusiastic about it. But we're going to get to all of that next week. So anyway, what the woman we're studying is Dixie Edwards. And again, that was just part one. And next week, we'll get back to Peaceful Valley, which will become a launching ground for what the Lord has for her.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.